Welcome to Salon Owners Collective, the podcast that helps you grow beyond owner-operator and build a business that supports you, your growing team and clients, leaving it a little in the tank left for you. Now, in this episode, I want to introduce you to Jazz Pampling. I talk a lot about her in my Likes to Bookings e-course because she specializes in a really clear niche and she does it exceptionally well. She is a brow artist and she's taken over Australia by storm. So in this interview, she shares some of the points in her journey that have really propelled her to success. And during our chat, we talk a little bit about networking. And afterwards, I thought it wasn't really a word that that she connected with. And I think a better way to explain what she's exceptionally good at is community. She's really great at nurturing a community around her, and not necessarily intentionally. I just think she's that way driven, but she's exceptionally good at it. Anyway, I loved chatting with her. She's got so much great stuff to share. She's really bright and bubbly. Let's jump into the interview. I can't wait to share it with you.
You're listening to the Salon Owners Collective Podcast, where each week we share stories and expertise from business owners like you, plus experts, influencers, and Larissa's actionable steps that will transform your business and your life. And now your host, Larissa Mackelman.
Hey Jazz, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining me today.
Hello, thank you for having me.
I'm super excited. I'm glad we finally got together. We've been chasing each other for a while now.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And I'm super excited to have you because I talk about you a lot. Did you know that?
No, I don't think I did know that.
I refer to you a lot in parts of my course, actually, because I think you do a lot of amazing things really well. So that's why I was keen to have you on the show.
Oh, thank you.
So let's start by saying, what is your official title? What are you?
My official title, I officially say I'm an eyebrow artist and a makeup artist. And I would say 90% of my work is eyebrow shaping, and then the other 10% when I can make it happen is makeup work, makeup artistry.
And so you have a new studio. You've been in business 7 years now, but you've just moved to a new studio in Sydney. Tell us about that.
So the new studio was a big move because it's allowed me to bring someone in to work for me. And it took so long to get it under control from dealing with council and permits and DA applications. And then now just working on getting someone to come in and work with me, making sure that I've got the employee contracts correct, that I know what my responsibilities are as an employer. But it's mainly for the business, for my business, is a big step because it's on a main road. It's a commercial studio. People can see it. So it's really, I guess, what I'm hoping it will be is my signature studio that people will know me for.
Okay.
So, yeah, so it's very exciting.
You've come from a small studio that was a little bit more tucked away at the back somewhere, and it was just you doing your brows. And so this is your next big step up to a physical, more visible space.
Yes, it is. Yep. So, I was always tucked away in the back streets of Sydney, so people didn't really know about me, which was, I guess, in its own way, a little marketing PR thing because people are like, oh, yeah, Jazz? No. Oh, my God. So she's kind of in the back streets over there without sounding like a dodgy place.
Yeah.
So it's been good. Point. Yeah, it was a talking point. And now this is the next talking point. So it's good.
So you actually started by going to people in the beginning of your business. You would travel to the people.
Yes, I would travel all over Sydney. An hour north, an hour south, or an hour west driving to clients, and I would drive 7 days a week because I couldn't afford a studio in Sydney. I was flat out affording rent as it was. So I was up at the crack of dawn every day driving till night, late into the evening, and then I would finish and then I would go and do bar work. So to supplement my income until I had a client base that was strong enough to support me. So that took about 3 years, I think.
Gosh, obviously it was well worth it though.
It was, and now I know the back streets of Sydney like a legend. right. Well, okay. So you started as a makeup artist. Tell us a little bit about your journey from makeup artist to brow artist.
So
why that transition?
Right. Well, I don't even know where to start. Too many words. They're all trying to come out of my mouth at once. Okay. So was working as a makeup artist, and I knew I didn't understand eyebrows the way I needed to. I knew it was a problem. And the course that I had done, a diploma of makeup artistry, the teachers couldn't really teach me about brows, I think because they didn't really have a solid understanding either. And then a good friend of mine was sitting in doing a Ray Morris masterclass. So Ray's one of the top makeup artists in Australia, and her 10-day masterclass was epic. And I couldn't afford it, but my friend could just. So I sat in as her face model for 10 days and essentially did the class for free, which is very cheeky. And I was very blessed to have that happen. And every day Ray spoke about eyebrows, whether it was a day about lips, a day about contouring, a day about just foundation, or a day about eyes. Every time she would come back and reference the brow, and she just said, I will not look at your work as a makeup artist if the brow is not finished. And I realized then how important it was. So I went and did a waxing certificate and went and worked doing eyebrows, and I thought, I'll just do this for 6 months and then I'm leaving. And then it's now 7 years later, I'm still working, and it's my specialty is eyebrow shaping. So that's kind of how I transitioned into it. And I still do makeup because it's important to keep learning and to keep educating yourself, and the two are so complementary. And while ever my makeup work gets stronger, it only increases my eyebrow work and helps that get stronger as well. So that's kind of how I made that transition.
And so you actually, you not only work with some really big names, which you can name drop shortly, but you actually travel around Australia and probably elsewhere, I think, to teach makeup artists and beauty therapists to do brows.
I do. I've been to New Zealand a couple of times now, and I'm back in New Zealand later this year for the Beauty Expo again, which is really exciting.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah, I love it. It's a great expo, actually, the New Zealand Expo. And I've traveled around Australia teaching private classes and classes through the expos. It's great. I love it. And it's great to meet other women who have small businesses, who are building businesses. It's very inspiring. I like it. I enjoy it.
And so for someone else who sort of aspires to not just be doing clients and wants to get into that education, what was your first foot up into education as such?
My first foot up, I was very lucky. So the way I built my business to start with was getting to know makeup artists, which I look back at now and didn't realize I was doing it just because that was what I had available to me at the time. And through makeup artists, they sent me clients, and I built my name in that way. And because I was doing eyebrow shaping, it made their work as a makeup artist easier when their client arrived with great eyebrows. And then lots of makeup artists got to know me, and I stayed in touch with Ray Morris, and I kept showing her my work. I kind of stalked her a little bit. I was a bit of a creep. I did her agent's eyebrows, her assistant's eyebrows. I did her friend's eyebrows. And then I was like, so they were all sort of going back to her, showing her my work, and then eventually she couldn't ignore me. So
yeah, that's awesome.
It was great. So she actually put my name forward for education at the beauty expos, and that's where it took off from there. So education before then wasn't even on my mind. It essentially fell in my lap. And I remember it was Sydney Beauty Expo, and they had had a couple of trainers before myself, and they tried a couple of different variations of brow shaping, and it hadn't quite worked the way they had hoped. So when they approached me, they were sort of like, okay, if it doesn't work with you, Jazz, we're just dropping brow education altogether. And so I guess, I don't know, I just found a format that works well for education in brow shaping. So it was good. It was really good.
And as you said, you didn't necessarily realize it at the time, but you actually had a networking formula.
I did. I fully did not even realize it. Who knew I had business savvy sense?
Best lessons are in retrospect sometimes.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So now when people ask me, how do I build my brow shaping business? I'm like, get to know makeup artists. There are thousands of makeup artists around the country and around the world, and they all need their clients' brows done. And they'll only see a client maybe once or twice, but you'll have that client for life. It's phenomenal business for you.
So that's a successful formula because you're doing something that's complementary and makes their work better.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Exactly. So that can and it's the same for people who work as cosmetic physicians, so people who do Botox and fillers. So I have a relationship with a physician here in Sydney, and our work is so complementary. I send her clients and she sends me clients, and it works really well.
Yeah. Okay, well, I think that's a good segue into a little bit of name dropping now. Tell us some of the opportunities you've had to work with some pretty amazing people.
I've been really lucky. I've met Paula Abdul, and I've traveled to LA a few times now and worked with her to do her eyebrows, which is awesome. And Naomi Watts, when she's in Australia, always comes to see me, which is incredibly lovely. And then in Australia, I don't know if you would know, I've model Samantha Harris. She's a big name here. And our singing export legend, Jessica Malboy.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys would know them.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like you might.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially after the, what was that huge award, that huge thing in Europe? What's that crazy concert that they do? I can't remember.
No.
Oh, my God. Oh, it's this hectic concert. Anyways, she was asked to sing at that, and I think that really put her on an international stage, which was amazing for her. So those are some of the few people I've been lucky enough to meet and work with, and not just work with like once or twice, like on a regular basis, which is lovely. So
yeah, that's cool. And I've got to ask the question, do you feel intimidated when you do these people, or do you just kind of go, right, logic when brain, tell me.
When I first started, the first time I met Naomi Watts, I kind of didn't register until after I'd done it. I think I went in like a little bit in like space cadet, which isn't to say I didn't do my job. I did my job well. But then I walked out and went, oh, hang on a minute. I just did brows for Naomi Watts. Holy moly. But at the time I was like, this is my job. And I just did it. Didn't even think twice about it.
Yeah.
And it was interesting because I worked with Naomi on another job. It was right before she went in front of the media for an event. And she had a top hairdresser and makeup artist with her. And I walked in the room and I knew immediately who they were. And I was more nervous about doing brows because they were in the room than the fact that Naomi was in the room. I was like, oh my God, these are like industry legends. And I'm like little jazz doing eyebrows. Oh yeah, it was crazy. So that's when I get more nervous, is in front of industry legends, I think.
Yeah. So. I think the thing I'm starting to realize is that even the big people at the top, you know, they still have that, oh my God, I feel like I want to vomit moment of feeling nervous also before they go on stage or any of that. And I have to try and remember that. Not that I'm meeting all these fabulous people, mind. But
no, but I think we forget. And, you know, I know I've been so lucky now to have met some great, amazing big artists in Sydney, whether they're in front of the camera or behind the camera, and they do, we all question ourselves and we're like, oh God, am I doing the best job I can? Is everyone going to figure out that I'm a fraud?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's funny, that whole fraud syndrome, it's something I think we should talk about more as an industry or as people that are, I don't know, anyone that has a little bit of success, I think even the people at the top still have that moment.
Yes, you know? Agreed. Yeah. Yep.
But yep. I think the ones that are successful are have the moment and do it anyway.
Yes, you got to push forward and push past it. You can't let it get the better of you.
Yep.
But yeah, there are most days I'm like, oh my God, my clients are going to figure out that I don't know what I'm doing. Actually, I do. And I think actually education has been really amazing, because when I teach my client or my classes and girls ask me questions and I have an answer, and there's a little part of me that goes, oh, I do know what I'm doing. It's fine. So even at the top of your game, you can still feel like you know, question what you do. So
yeah. So that's definitely one of the secrets to your success, is being able to push through that. What else do you think has been, you've mentioned your network until they can't ignore you. What else is part of your success formula, do you think?
I think with clients, the reason I've built a strong client base is my communication with clients. Mm-hmm. I always sit down and I take, whether they're a new client or an old client, 5 to 10 minutes to make sure that what we're doing with their brows is exactly what they want. And if it's not, keeping those lines of communication open and allowing them to feel comfortable enough that if I didn't quite nail what they were after, they feel comfortable enough to say, actually, Jazz didn't love that last time. Can we shift and try something new? And I think that's been a really big thing, and not sacrificing quality for quantity was a big thing for me. Keeping time for clients and not just trying to get them in the door and get them out the door.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, good one.
That's been key.
Now, what about business tips? What if, a budding makeup artist or brow artist or anybody who's in the hair and beauty industry, what would be your tips to successful business? What's your number one tip?
My number one tip is communication, definitely. with staff, with clients. Especially like with the girl that I'm bringing on, I've been very open and honest with her. And in return, I hope that allows her to feel that she can be open and honest with me at all times. So communication is crucial, I think. Don't focus on your competition. It's so easy to get caught up in, oh, but this is what they're doing and they're so much more successful than me. Everyone runs at their own pace and you've got to do what's right for you. And whatever you focus on the outside of your business, your focus is misdirected. So you be aware of your competition, but don't let it engulf you and lead to worry would be a big thing. And this isn't a major tip, but a little tip that I've really realized in the last year is not getting focused and wrapped up in clients rebooking before they walk out the door. I remember going to beauty therapists and they're like, sorry, when are you rebooking? And I'm like, calm down. I don't even know what I'm doing tomorrow. Don't ask me what I'm doing in 3 or 4 weeks' time. And so you end up walking out the door with this feeling of like, oh, that was really awkward. And you feel like you've been pestered. And instead I focus on my retention rate. So I keep a retention rate of clients at about 90%. And if that drops by say 20%, then I'm like, all right, hang on a minute. What's going on? Why are clients not coming back? And I have a rebooking rate of about 60%, and if that drops below 50, then I probably get a little bit worried. But I'm more concerned with clients coming back at their own time than forcing them to make bookings, and I find that they end up leaving happy because their last memory out the door was a really lovely, quick, cheeky conversation, and then they're off and walking. So those probably the big ones for me.
Now you have you use online booking, don't you?
I do. I love online booking. It means I don't have to pay for a secretary that I can't afford.
Absolutely. And you don't have to have your life interrupted at all moments, especially when you're with a client.
Yes, exactly. It's really, it's slowed down the number of questions I have because people can do things for themselves. Doesn't mean I don't get them still, but in inquiries, and there are still some clients who haven't quite sorted out technology, which I totally get because I'm technologically challenged. But yes, internet booking online system was the best thing I ever did for my business.
Now, you kind of call yourself not that tech savvy, but you use Timely software, don't you?
I do, yes, because it's so easy. I don't even have to think twice about it. I didn't even like learn how to use it. I just started using it. So that's awesome. That speaks volumes for the ease and use of that particular system.
Yeah, yeah, that's great. I'm a big fan, obviously, of Timely software. So
yeah, I recommend it for everyone.
Yeah, yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Now, I want to just take a moment to just talk about this transition, because the big topic, and it's a topic I'm passionate about, especially with my background with timely booking software, and that's the transition of this need to rebook into just focusing on retention, because I do believe that online booking, mobile phones, the invention of it, the smartphone, has really changed the way that our customers expect to interact with us, because their lives have changed. So if you think about, they're on their mobile phones. Back in the day, when I had my salon prior to smartphones, we booked clients because rebooked them, and we were looking for an 80% plus rebooking rate.
Yes.
But people were more committed to what they were doing in 6 weeks' time, because in those days, you booked something and you stuck to it. And if you met someone on the corner of the street and you couldn't make it, it was too bad. You couldn't text them and say, sorry, I'm running late. People just, and they'd wait for you for an hour.
That's so true.
But we don't do that now. We've got this luxury of being able to communicate, and our lives have become more fluid, I think, as a result of that. Don't you think? We don't book.
They have. I never thought about it that way, but you're so right.
We kind of go, we'll catch up next week, and you kind of make the plan as you go, right?
Yes.
And I do think as business owners, we need to evolve with that. And thankfully, we have online booking to allow us to focus on the retention rate and not the rebooking rate, and utilize online booking, right, to make up the gap.
Yep, absolutely. I think it's crucial.
Yeah. Anyway, we digress into my little online booking rant.
No. I completely agree with you, and I feel like it, and I think it's less stress for your employees as well. When I think about when I was an employee, there was so much pressure on me to have my clients rebooking, and it really used to worry me. I'd go home and be like, I'm not meeting my percentages. Oh my God, how am I going to cope? And now that I've removed that pressure from myself as a business owner, it's something that I hope to instill in whoever works for me.
Yeah, and the relationship with your client becomes a little bit more natural, doesn't it?
It does, yes.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Okay, in the lead up to wrapping up, I always like to ask if you've got a quote or a mantra or something that keeps you going as an entrepreneur, because you are an entrepreneur. What's one quote or something that you have that you think of often?
I've really had to think about this, because I'm like, I don't know that I have a quote. And I'm like, I don't know what my daily mantra is. My daily mantra, I kind of realized, I was like, I kind of feel like Dory sometimes, just keep swimming, keep swimming. Because there are days where you're exhausted and you're like, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? I should just quit and go and work, and someone else can have this stress. which I guess kind of got me to where everything will happen as it's meant to, which is a bit hippie, I know, but I'm a little bit of a hippie. Everything will happen as it's meant to, and I can't force it. And the moment I try to force something to happen sooner, because I wanted it done yesterday, it tends to fall apart, and I tend to annoy people. So I have to just, it doesn't mean that you sit at home and you wait for it to come to you. I'm still out there. I'm still trying to make things work and trying to find new opportunities and new exciting ideas. But once I've said, put it out there, and I'm trying to get people to get back to me, I just have to wait and be patient, and it'll all come when it's supposed to. So yeah, everything will happen as it's meant to. Don't force it.
Yeah, nice.
Or well, just keep swimming.
All right. What about educating or growing yourself? What book or webinar or podcast? Where do you get your inspiration, and what can you share?
I feel like such a dork when I say this, but from blogs like yourself, Larissa, because I was just listening to someone the other day, and I can't remember what it was, and I'm so fired for not remembering who it was, but it came into my inbox seriously like within the last week. You spoke with a business owner.
Oh, me?
Yes, you.
Oh, Janine.
Yeah.
About working on your business, not...
Yes. Yeah.
And I was like, and that's a really good reminder for me, because I get stuck in my business and I forget to work on my business. And so listening to blogs and podcasts and reading things like that, if I don't have time to listen, even just like clicking in and being able to read briefly what you guys spoke about was awesome. And then people around me, successful business owners around me, small business owners, I speak with them as much as I can. My accountant has been a brilliant source of information. I had a change just recently. I had another accountant and he was lovely, but his advice wasn't quite working for me. And then I met someone by chance and his advice has been brilliant. He built up his own accounting firm and he has just heaps of information and years of wisdom that I just don't have yet. And then other people in the industry, I feel like particularly in the brow industry, we can be a little bit sort of secret squirrel. We don't like to share information too much, I think, because it's a young industry. We're worried about letting secrets out and losing business, but it's not that way. And speaking with other artists, I'm learning more and more all the time. So that's probably where I'm getting, and then educating myself, going like, I went and did some brow tattooing courses recently, which were amazing. It helped me to learn a little bit more, not just about brow tattooing, but seeing how other people see eyebrows as well. Education is key, and business people around you is key, I think.
Yeah. Well, that comes back to your networking skills, I guess, too.
Yeah, it does, which I really didn't think I had.
You learn something new about yourself every day.
Yeah. I think, you know what it is? It's not forced networking. I think people don't like the word networking because they're like, oh my God, those networking pyramid schemes.
Yeah.
But they're forced. The relationships don't come. I mean, they do come from a genuine place, but that person genuinely wants to make lots of money. Whereas I genuinely want my business to be successful and I want to learn more. And from that passion comes money and people respond in a more positive manner, I think.
Yeah. Well, look, thank you so much for sharing with us today. You've had some very wise words, whether you know it or not.
I don't think I know it, but thank you. I appreciate that.
Hey, look, I know people are going to want to stalk you. So what's your dub and where can people find you?
People can stalk me at jazzpampling.com, all one word. And you can find me on Instagram at jazzbrowartist, all one word. And Facebook is, what is Facebook? Haha, that's terrible. Facebook is Jazz Pampling.
Yeah.
Australian brow artist.
That's
yes.
The last one. Hey, well, thank you so much again. And we'll see you.
Thanks for having me. I'm so glad we did this because the last time we tried to do this, I was in LA and it was a massive schmozzle.
Sometimes things are worth waiting for. We can't force things.
No, you can't. See, when you try and force it, you just got to go with the flow and let it happen.
Exactly.
Yeah. Nice to speak with you.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Salon Owners Collective Podcast. Tune in each week as we reveal the latest insight and advice on what it takes to make your salon a success today. Subscribe to the Salon Owners Collective Podcast on iTunes or visit us online at salonownerscollective.com for answers to your common questions, to follow Larissa, and much more. Thanks for listening. See you next time.